With us today is my friend Kirk. He's here, and so glad for you to be here. Join us. You have an amazing story, and we've been communicating back and forth for a while, wanting to get together and have you come onto the show and talk. You know, the thing is with your story, there's so much there, and when I think about talking to you, it's like I want to cover so many things, okay? And so I don't want to define you as a cancer surviving person because you're so much more than that. So when you meet someone and right now in this last year you've been meeting a lot of people, how do you introduce yourself?
It depends on how, if I'm like in a grocery store or something, a lot of times I will use cancer as a starter. You know, sometimes about whether because of the chemo that I'm on right now, I've got like real severe hand and foot diabetic pain. Mm. And if I was going to open a bottle of water, I had to put on a pair of gloves. Well, I'll ask them, would you open that bottle of water for me? I'm going through chemo. And they'll gladly do it. Yeah. And next thing, they're like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, well, no, it's actually, depending on today's day, I tell you, 353, mm-hmm. You know, and I'll say it's actually been the best 353 days of my life and just sort of go from there.
I want to know, like, what was it that made you even get to the point to go, okay, I got to get tested for cancer?
It was the Saturday before Christmas last year. Mm-hmm. I started bleeding.
Okay.
And matter of fact, I fell twice. And anyway, when I was on the ground the second go around, I actually called my brother and I told him I wasn't going to work that day. So I can just crawl back in bed and, you know, just take it easy. Well, at that same time, before I got up, you know, my doctor friend's on the phone. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he goes, get somebody else to drive you. Go ahead and go to the hospital and get them to check your blood there. And he goes, if they want to go ahead and do any of the tests, let them do it. So anyway, I went to Emory Midtown and... the reason I had, you know, and I never actually passed out, but it was the fact that I had, you know, enough blood loss or what have you.
Oh, right.
And anyway, that day, before the day was over with, I had had two blood transfusions and I found myself in ICU.
Oh, wow.
So if I'd have gotten back in bed, I probably wouldn't be here right now. That night it was, they're like, we're going to have you got to do a colonoscopy in the morning. Mm-hmm. And now I've had probably one of the worst days of my life as far as just being through whatever all. And
right.
They show you this 2.5 gallons of Easy Go or whatever they call that. And you need to drink that. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man.
I'm in ICU. And they've got a commode over there that's jailhouse style. And it's like, here you go, drink this. But anyway, the next day I found out that I had cancer. I really wasn't, you know, that's one of those things you're never prepared to hear.
No, because that happens to other people.
Right, exactly. And anyway, he said he's going to go out and talk to my family, and there's a nurse who comes in who's going to, you know, speak to me. Okay. And she comes in, and I start telling her about serving with Atlanta Mission. And the previous, however many, 8 weeks earlier, I had gotten sick. And had a fever and all this kind of stuff. And I was kind of frustrated about the fact I was mad that I was going to have to miss an appointment and do whatever. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's like, well, if you go tonight, you're contagious. You're going to, you know, get somebody sick. So it'd be very selfish. I basically canceled everything I had going on, went home and said, Lord, just help me rest. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry for being upset, you know, because it's not Kirk's will be done, it's your will be done.
Right.
And I probably had the best night's sleep. Mm-hmm. And that morning when I woke up, and every day since then, I got up and I said, Lord, no matter what happens today to anybody or anything, mm-hmm. I'm going to praise you tonight. Mm-hmm. And I started saying that at Atlanta Mission every week. And I was telling them, I said, like the guys.
This was 2 weeks before you were diagnosed.
No, this was in beginning of October.
Okay.
So this is 2 months approximately.
A little over 2 months. You started adopting this attitude. No matter what.
Right. I'm telling this story to the nurse. Mm-hmm. And she stops me and she says, excuse me, do you realize what the doctor just told you?
Wow.
And I'm like, yes, ma'am, I do. I said, well, what am I supposed to do about it? Mm-hmm. And I basically started sharing the gospel then and never hadn't shut up since.
Wow.
So what's really interesting is it was almost like your mind was being prepared.
It was.
Before.
For that.
So what kind of cancer do you have?
I've got colon cancer. It's actually stage 4. At the very beginning, I thought all I had was colon cancer.
Okay.
And there was a little bit that was just outside as far as the lymph nodes or what have you. But when I had surgery, when I came out of surgery, I looked at my daughter and said, you know, I said, well, I made it. And she looks at me, and all of a sudden I realized she's fixing to cry or something. Oh, so I was God. Like, they told you something. And she's like, Daddy, they took out part of your liver and some of your kidneys, and it's, you know, all over.
Wow.
So, and matter of fact,
stage four means it's spread.
That spread. Okay. And really, it's one of those things. Stage four, there's really, they stop at stage four, but there's really a couple different degrees. But as I was getting out of the hospital, they had already signed the release papers. They were sending an IV nurse in to pull my IV out. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this Dr. Dubosky, who's supposed to be one of the best cancer doctors there is, he comes walking in the room. And
is that your doctor now?
He's my doctor. Okay. And he wound up, he basically told my oldest daughter, he goes, go to all of the doctors he's been to, bring me all of his medical records, this was on a Monday. He goes, have all this stuff on my desk on Wednesday, and Friday morning I'll have a full assessment for you.
Wow.
And how long were you given?
Oh, well, at that point, that's when we went in. He goes, basically what you're looking at right here, he goes, 70% of the doctors would definitely deem it incurable and would probably say, do you want to go the make it comfortable route? Wow. And I said to him, I said, well, hope you're part of the 30%. And,
yeah.
He says he was, but it was going to take some pretty nasty treatment. Mm. And I went through some really rough
stuff.
Did
he use that word, nasty treatment?
He used the word nasty.
Wow.
And, but it was one of those that made it through it. It was one of, and it was kind of weird. Even my worst days were sometimes my best days because I was so comforted by God.
Now he didn't give you a timetable then?
He not really, not as an official. But it's one of those things he said.
Definitely back, not like you got a year.
No, it was more like I kind of felt like I was going to be lucky if I made it 90 days.
Okay.
And even, I mean, honestly, never. My daughter's birthdays were in April. I never figured I'd see their birthday. I never figured I'd see my youngest daughter graduate high school.
Wow.
So. But anyway,
did you see your daughter?
I did.
Now the various stages, there's, you said you were on stage four, and then there's various stages. So I guess there's stages where it's just in one area, it's something that can be removed with an easy surgery or?
Right, it's stage one and two is isolated to the one area.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it gets to lymph nodes and what have you, you're basically at stage three. Mm-hmm. And then once it's actually spread to other organs or what have you, mm-hmm. it's stage four.
Yeah,
but it's also sometimes it's just kind of spread, but it's also then you get back into the cells as far as the mismatch of the cells and what they are. I mean, they can actually, there's a lot of it that they can look back that my doctor was a renowned hematologist, mm-hmm. and they can actually look and see that he goes, I'm not dead sure I can cure this, but I can definitely extend your life by a long period.
Well,
okay. You know,
by looking at the blood.
By looking at the blood and by looking at all your pathology and stuff of that nature.
Yeah. Now you started at some point documenting this journey. What caused you to do that, and how long have you been doing it?
I actually started the very night that I found out that I had cancer.
What made you do that, though? I mean, some people get cancer, they go in and they curl up in a ball and.
Back to the nurse that I was sitting there talking, that I sat there and I told her, I said, well, I've got cancer. And this is 5 minutes after they had told me I had cancer. And she says, so what are you going to do about it? And I said, I'm not sure if this is some people have cancer that's just a little thing, mm-hmm. and they're over with it. And now I had cancer 15 years ago and went through a little bit of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Or if this is truly going to be the beginning of the end of my life, you know, I said, no matter how it goes, I'm going to milk this for the glory of God.
Wow.
So, and I just, as far as each day, you're sitting there thinking, how can I go and do that?
Wow.
So have you struggled at all being angry with God or pissed about the situation or?
Mm-mm, I never have.
Okay.
No, it's one of those I've actually, it's been surprising about how many people I've had come along to me that have, you know, they've been angry, they've been whatever.
Yeah.
And because so much of my life, I was very legalistic, and if I was legalistic, yes, I'd have gotten mad.
Okay.
And I'm like, but on the thing is, I'm like, I'll be healed if God wants me to be healed.
Yeah.
But I'm going to use this. And it's like, right this very second, you know, I'm here because I got cancer, so I want to use it.
Yeah.
So why not?
Right. Well, I think what's interesting to me when I think about your situation, well, first, having the kids, to me, that would be the
hardest.
That would be the hardest thing.
How old are your girls? You know?
My youngest is 18. My oldest is 25.
Okay.
And the only thing that has ever bothered me, as far as my only fear, was if either one of my daughters walked away from Christ because of me.
Mm.
That was my biggest fear in life.
Right. That they would see it as, and, God, this is not fair. You're taking my dad from me.
Yeah.
And I went through a little bit of that, even like on day 90. I was sitting there and I told somebody, I said, this has been the best 90 days of my life. And my youngest daughter looked at me as we walked away from there and she's like, Daddy, this has been the worst 90 days of my life.
Mm.
Mm.
But one thing and another, she wants me to go to Barry, but there's somebody up there who's producing a podcast that she said that he goes, I think they need your story.
Yeah.
So I told her, I said, well, tell me when and where. And I'll
so
go
she's
up there.
On she's in the, on the board on the, on
oh,
the
yes.
track sharing this.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now you threw a party.
I did.
So I just want to make all these things clear. You find out you have cancer. You start preaching the gospel immediately to the first person you see.
Right.
You start immediately posting your story and giving glory to God Facebook. And then you throw a party.
Right. Yes, I had a party. And it was also one of those things. On the chemo that I was on, I was told that you would be extremely cold sensitive. And for however many months, I could not have, I had no ice. If I got something out of the refrigerator, I had to wear gloves. Mm-hmm. I had to warm it up to at least room temperature because if I touched something in the refrigerator, it's like grabbing a piece of dry ice for 15 minutes.
Wow.
But I knew that was coming. And I had a party in which it started off just to be an ice cream deal, but then it turned into a potluck deal. It was initially going to have about 25 people. And Slana was, well, gee, let's just invite whoever wants to show up, which you came. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And I think we had like 140 people coming through the afternoon.
Yeah.
It was just sort of your drop-in deal. Yeah. At one point, it got kind of busy.
It was a hard, it was a weird conversation with my wife. It's like, we're going to go to a party. Oh, really? What? It's a cancer party. We're going to a cancer party?